following program is brought to you by NYU Winthrop Hospital. It's the weekend. Be good to yourself. It's Katz's Corner with Dr. Aaron Katz, where you get simple, straightforward answers to your questions about health, from diet and supplements to lifestyle changes. To reach Dr. Katz, call 800-848-WABC. Now, live on 77 WABC, it's the chairman of urology at NYU Winthrop Hospital in New York. Here is Dr. Aaron Katz.
Started wrong. Hold on a second. Good morning, everyone, and welcome again to Katz's Corner here on WABC Radio in New York. I'm your host, Dr. Aaron Katz, and we're live at 1-800-848-WABC. That number again is 1-800-848-9222. So glad you could join me this morning. It was gorgeous yesterday, wasn't it? What a tease. It felt like summer. Went from winter to summer, and then, I don't know, it's going back to some strange day today again. But anyway, we have a wonderful show for you today. And before I get to my guest, just want to remind everyone, this coming Saturday, a wonderful relationship that we have with our New York State Senator Elaine Phillips and NYU Winthrop, we are going to have a free, really free, sometimes I hear these things on the radio. Oh, if you buy this, you know, get two bottles free. It's never free. This is free. A free prostate cancer PSA screening test for all men who arrive that are 40 and over and have not had a prior diagnosis of prostate cancer. Doesn't matter what insurance. We're not putting it through insurance. You're going to get a free test and a complimentary breakfast and an educational series. Myself, my wonderful two colleagues, Dr. Jonathan Haas, who is the chairman of radiation oncology at NYU Winthrop, and my wonderful colleague, Dr. Joseph Jamal, who's the director of urological robotic services at NYU Winthrop, will give a lecture. We're going to go over some interesting cases and answer your questions. And it'll be this Saturday at the beautiful Winthrop Research and Academic Center located in Mineola. And so if you want to join us, we'd love to see you this Saturday from 8:30 to noon. You do need to call for a spot. You need to call Senator Phillips' office. The number is 516-746-5924. So we look forward to seeing you there. Again, that'll be this Saturday from 8:30 in the morning to around noon we'll finish, and you'll get a free blood test. And also a reminder that this year, our Men's Health Seminar is coming up. It'll be Saturday, June 16th at the Garden City Hotel. And the registration is open. You can go on to the online site if you'd like. It's menshealthseminar.com. Or you can call Kate Owens at 516-663-2316. This is going to be an outstanding conference this year. If you haven't been to any of our prior Men's Health Seminars, this is the one to go to. Of course, if you've been there before, we'd love to see you and hope to see you back again. We have Dr. Michael Roizen as our keynote speaker. He's the chief wellness officer at the Cleveland Clinic. And then we have wonderful topics all day, controversies in prostate cancer treatment for urinary issues. We have discussions on if you've had prostate cancer, what to do if your PSA is going up, what about when you should be screened for your colon health, and what is colonoscopy all involved, and then if you have issues with sleep, as most men and women do. And of course, we'd love to see your beautiful spouses at the seminar, because there's some great talks for them as well. We have discussions on stress management and also on how to optimize your health. So all of that will be Saturday, June 16th, Garden City Hotel, menshealthseminar.com. So you can register there. Love to see you all. This morning, I have a wonderful guest on the show with me. She's been here before, Dr. Christine Chung, and she is an attending physician in the Division of Vascular Surgery at NYU Winthrop. And she's going to be with us this morning and discuss a very important topic that pertains to many of us, which is how to, Well, how to take care of, or should you take care of, varicose veins? What does varicose veins mean? And some risk factors, and also some discussion. We'll talk with her this morning now about some vascular problems that men and women may suffer with. Good morning, Christine. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you on. You've been here before, always a great guest, and I greatly appreciate, as our listeners do, you getting up on a Sunday to educate us about this.
Yes, of course.
A very important topic. I mean, I do see this quite a bit in my practice, and you know, it comes up, and the question is it a concern? Is it serious? Does it need to be treated? So let's first start out and just tell us a little bit about varicose veins and really what's going on here. What are they?
Sure. So varicose veins are just enlarged tortuous veins just visible underneath the skin. Usually they're associated with various symptoms ranging from just leg swelling, aching, cramping, sometimes throbbing and itching, the development of skin changes, and even ulcerations when there's more severe disease. Now, there's always a question of how varicose veins are different from spider veins. And spider veins are actually much smaller than varicose veins and are usually about, you know, a bluish or reddish color, and they're usually rarely associated with any symptoms. So most often these spider veins are treated for an unsightly appearance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they don't really, they're not causing people any pain or anything like that.
Usually the spiders are not. The varicose veins often do.
Why would that be? Is it just because it's involving the nerve roots there? Or?
Well, usually the valves within the veins are affected, so they're not functioning correctly. So, you know, the blood is not going in the correct direction from, you know, your legs back to the heart. So when the valves are not functioning well, there's a backflow of blood. There's some venous pooling in your legs causing, you know, venous hypertension, and this causes the different symptoms that I had mentioned before.
I see. Yeah. And so I guess one of the main risk factors is for this is for, you know, age, right? I mean, we can't stop that. Are there other risk factors here that people need to know about?
Yeah, there definitely are. So, you know, varicose veins affect all of us, actually, women and men, although women are 2 times more likely than men to be affected by varicose veins. But other things that are related to either our lifestyles, our body habits, even genetic factors account for why we develop varicose veins and why some people don't. So such factors are if you have a job that involves standing or sitting for long periods of time, if you're unfortunately obese, or if you're immobile and don't exercise much, again, if you have a family history of vein problems, if you're a smoker, you know, pregnant women are at risk, or even patients with a history of leg injury or DVTs in the past, that along with elderly patients, they're all especially at risk for varicose veins.
Now, are varicose veins, is this like a serious condition? I mean, is it something that, you know, if you're listening out there, and we're talking this morning with Dr. Christine Chung, vascular attending at NYU Winthrop, and if you have this, I mean, is it something that you just kind of know? I mean, so many people have it, and you notice it, and is it, I guess the question is really, is this something that is serious and something that people should see a physician for? I mean, how do you know when to see a doctor for this?
So certainly varicose veins are not a life-threatening or limb-threatening problem, unlike arterial disease. However, the symptoms that I had mentioned, the swelling, the aching, the throbbing, the, you know, the color changes, these can affect your quality of life. So certainly there are different measures you can speak to with your care provider to either prevent them or prevent them from progressing so you don't get to a point where the symptoms are so unmanageable and they're affecting your life. So even if you don't have any symptoms and even if you have small spider veins or, you know, not symptomatic varicose veins, I do suggest that you see a vascular surgeon so you can talk about, you know, the management strategy and, you know, just to learn more about what varicose veins are and how they can potentially affect you.
Yeah, I guess especially, right, because if you're if you have other medical conditions like high blood pressure, or you have cardiac conditions, or I was just thinking about, you know, diabetes, because, you know, at NYU Winthrop, we're really a center of excellence for diabetes. And, you know, we when think about vascular conditions and then you have diabetes, that can really complicate these manifestations of, you know, and vascular flow. And then you're talking about, you know, issues where there can be numbness in the extremities or other neurological conditions. So certainly if you have any of these underlying problems, you definitely need to be involved with a physician. You agree with that?
Yes, I definitely do agree with that. So, you know, that's why it's important to differentiate whether the symptoms you're having are actually from varicose veins or if they're actually from a more serious underlying problem such as peripheral vascular disease where, you know, the diabetes and the lack of good arterial perfusion to the leg can cause you to have a limb-threatening circumstance. So learning more about the differences between different ulcerations, different skin changes, different appearances on your leg can certainly better inform the patient and prevent a potentially life-threatening situation.
So what is the experience going to be like if someone calls your office and they say, okay, I have varicose veins and I'm, you know, I listen to you on the radio and or I'm just concerned about this and, you know, I want to come in and see you. You know, you're going to take a history, of course, and we always do that as a physician. We take a thorough history and then you're going to examine the patient and see this. Will there be other testing that you would do on that visit?
Yes. So one thing we often do at our NYU Winthrop Vein Center is a duplex ultrasound, which is basically a test for us to use sound waves to visualize the blood vessel and the blood flow. So it's painless, it's non-invasive, there's no radiation involved, but we can accurately establish the anatomy of your veins and how the valves in your veins are functioning to better inform us whether there actually is a vein problem and how we can actually treat it.
So you can look inside deeper to what's going on, because what you're looking on the surface may be just a superficial problem, and it may not be anything serious, but with this ultrasound, you can look deeper into the extremity, the leg, let's say, things that you may not be able to actually visualize to get a further assessment of is this a serious situation or not?
Yes, absolutely. So, okay. Again, you're looking at the veins themselves, and we can see exactly what's going on within the vein, and this tells us whether it, you know, this informs us how we can best treat the patient.
Yeah, this is serious, too, because, you know, one of the main concerns that we have whenever we do pelvic surgery are patients that get these deep vein, we call deep vein thrombosis or a blood clot in the leg, which really can be rather life-threatening because then those clots can travel, God forbid, to a lung or your heart or your brain or something like that. And those patients usually present with different things, with pain, let's say, but I guess you could find some things on that ultrasound that maybe you didn't expect.
Absolutely.
I guess that's what happens in medicine. You know, you do a test and you go, oh, look at this. We found this. Mm-hmm. You know, so what could you find, I guess?
Right. So when we do the ultrasound, we look at both your deep veins and your superficial veins or the veins closer to the surface of the skin. So your deep veins account for about 90% of the blood that's brought back from the legs back to the heart. And in these deep veins, this is when we look for clots or valve insufficiencies or narrowings or compression of the deep veins. And that's certainly something that is a more serious problem than just the varicose veins. The superficial system have two main trunks, and they're the main trunks called the small saphenous vein and the greater saphenous vein. And I can take out all the superficial veins in one's body, and it's not limb or life-threatening. But within these superficial veins, if there is reflux or a backward filling of blood within these veins, these can be treated by minimally invasive methods in our office. So there is certainly a distinction between clots in the deep veins and clots in the superficial veins, and that's something we can distinguish with this ultrasound.
Yeah, now I do see a lot of ads in the newspaper for the, you know, varicose veins and come to our center. And I'm sure that you guys are really doing a much more thorough job because you're not just looking at the superficial component. You're really trying to understand what's going on physiologically and anatomically with the patient. And that's why I think if you're listening, you have this, you really need to get in to see you know, someone like yourself that's has a training in not only general surgery, but has training in vascular surgery, a fellowship, and really can take care of it rather than just going in and having these, you know, veins, let's say sclerosed. I wanted to ask you about that because I guess, you know, one of the reasons that people come to see you, I'm sure, is that, you know, the summertime is coming. You know, you want to wear shorts. You have these varicose veins and, you know, you want to take care of them. So you're saying that this can, you check the ultrasound, make sure everything is okay on the inside. And if it's just a real superficial problem, then you can, do you remove these superficial veins or what goes on there?
Well, first off, for the to backtrack a tiny bit, when we treat varicose veins, the first line treatment in all of medicine is non-operative. So first we, you know, sit down and counsel the patient and encourage lifestyle changes such as weight loss, exercising, elevating your legs, and most importantly, the use of compression stockings, which basically decompresses the veins in the legs and prevents the venous pooling that causes a lot of the symptoms that patients experience. Now, if these non-operative measures are not sufficient, then there are a variety of procedures we offer, usually in the office, that is minimally invasive, that's either focused on removing the problematic veins or closing it down with a small fiber. And so I can get into the different treatment strategies that we do at NYU Winthrop Vein Center that are very effective.
And is it a one-time treatment, like you come in and then you can have the varicose veins either remove? I mean, the removal sounds a little bit more intense to me. I was just thinking, how do you actually remove? Because, you know, there's not just one little vein. It's usually a bunch of them. So that sounds complicated.
Well, not so much, actually. No? So back in the past, vascular surgeons used to ligate or excise the whole problematic vein.
Okay.
But now we can do all that with a single puncture and the use of a small fiber, which is usually made of laser or radio frequency, that is inserted into the vein painlessly and collapsed within the body so that the blood can recirculate to the healthier veins. So these large veins are not actually excised, but they're collapsed within the patient's body and remain collapsed. However, if there are prominent branches from the main trunks we had talked about, we can do something called stab phlebectomy, which basically involves tiny 1-millimeter incisions over the problematic veins, and these veins are removed in the office. And, you know, all this can be done with just sedation, very light sedation or local anesthesia, and the patients tolerate it very well. Now, something like sclerotherapy, when you're injecting a chemical to collapse the tiny little spider veins, this is practically painless. We use a very, very tiny needle. Patients are awake. There's no local involved. And usually for all three procedures, patients, have them done in our office, and it's quick, it's pretty painless, and patients are very happy.
Wow. And what about insurance? Insurance cover it?
So usually for symptomatic vein problems, insurance does cover the procedure. However, if it's done just for cosmetic reasons, usually it is not covered by insurance.
I see. So, but what if the patient says, you know, I'm coming in and, yeah, it's cosmetic and it hurts me a little bit. Can you document that and say that it's symptomatic and insurance will cover, or it has to be certain types of measurements taken in terms of their pain?
Right. If there is life-limiting pain associated with the vein problem, then that is documented and the ultrasound is submitted, and, you know, depending on the insurance, they may or may not cover it.
I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess it's kind of like plastic surgery. I mean, as long as you're not dealing with anything life-threatening here and nothing serious and you're not having any major pain, or like you say, it's not affecting your life where you can't get out of bed or go to work or something like that, then it's cosmetic. Then it's like plastic surgery, so then it's not going to be covered. Is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What about the ultrasound part? Is that covered?
Usually ultrasounds are part of the, you know, workup for the leg pain and discomfort, so usually the duplex ultrasound is covered.
Okay. All right. Fine. So this is very important. I mean, clearly people that are having this issue need to get in to see someone like yourself just to make sure that there's nothing else seriously going on. The compression stockings, I guess you're saying, can work, but pretty much are not going to take, they're not going to remove that, the veins, though. I mean, you're still going to see them, right?
Well, some patients actually have are able to control their symptoms with the compression stockings. So, sure, you can still see the varicosities, but they're not as big and they're not as painful. So, you know, it also depends on the patient. So if you're, for example, a waitress that's on your feet for the whole day and you're wearing the compression stockings, they can make the pain a little bit better at the end of the day, but, you know, you're still going to have the pain when you're not wearing the stockings, and the stockings may not adequately control it. Then this would be lifestyle limiting symptoms, and something like this would certainly be covered by insurance.
Okay, and if you have the varicose veins and the, you know, you want a cosmetic result because, you know, the summer is coming up, let's say, and you want to wear a bathing suit or shorts,
yes,
and you do this procedure in your office, do you see the results right away? I mean, are the veins just the next day? It's like a dramatic difference.
Usually with the laser therapy, especially, the veins are collapsed and you see the results and you have symptom relief right away, even that same day. Some patients experience it a few days later. Something like stab phlebectomy, because they involve skin incisions, the varicose veins won't be visible. However, you will see the tiny little incisions because that takes a few weeks to completely heal. Mm-hmm. And finally, with the sclerotherapy, usually the maximum results from one session you see within a couple of weeks, but usually with sclerotherapy, you need more than one session to get the cosmetic result that you want. So when I counsel patients about sclerotherapy, I remind them that one treatment alone may not give them, you know, complete treatment of the tiny spiders. They may need a return for a few more sessions over a span of a few months to get the pristine look that they're looking for.
Well, I guess the other question that people are going to ask, I'm sure, is can these veins come back? You know, I mean, once you take care of them, whether it be through the sclerotherapy or the laser procedure or whatever you do, once you take care of them, is it done or is it something that...
Well, unfortunately, varicose veins can come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our body is very complex. The venous system is made up of millions of, you know, complex network of veins. So once the targeted veins that we're looking at are either removed or ablated, other veins can become more prominent and even symptomatic. So your body may also form new veins over time. So the problem can certainly persist, maybe not from the same vein that was targeted, but by new veins.
Okay. Well, Dr. Christine Chung, maybe you can give our listeners a phone number and how to contact you, or is there a website or any information that would be helpful?
Absolutely. So our office is located on 200 Old Country Road, Suite 120. We are a full center. We have a vascular lab and a procedure room. It's a one-stop place where you can get your varicosities treated. Our office phone number is 516-663-1220, and we have a website as well at the NYU Winthrop Vein Center website that is linked to the NYU Winthrop main site.
Well, Dr. Christine Chung, I can't thank you enough. This was extremely helpful. I mean, if you're listening out there or you have this condition or you know of a loved one that are, I think this is very important, at least to get in, to get an evaluation. And it sounds like, you know, in the majority of times, these could be taken care of pretty quickly. And you don't have to be in a hospital, as in the old days. It can really be done painlessly and in your office at this. And I've seen the vascular center is beautiful. So, Dr. Christine Chung, if you want to reach her, the number is 516-663-1220. Of course, you can always check her out on the web. And that would be, what is it, nyuwinthrop.org now?
I believe so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
although I would have to double check that.
Sure. Okay, 516-663-1220. Thank you so much, Dr. Chung. I really appreciate you coming on this morning.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Have a wonderful day.
You as well.
Well, we have a few more minutes left here on Katz's Corner. I know that Max in Livingston has been hanging on the phone and to ask me a question about bladder cancer. Are you still there, Max?
Sure, I am, doctor.
Okay.
A friend of mine has bladder cancer, and the tumor has penetrated the bladder wall into the surrounding fatty tissue. And what they want to do is conventional surgery to cut out the tumor and then patch the bladder with small intestine so as to retain the bladder function. Is radiosurgery an alternative?
Yeah, it depends upon the age of your friend. This is a friend of yours, Max?
Yes, he's 80.
Yeah, 80 years old. I mean, certainly we would want to counsel him here because it's going to depend, Max, on the depth of the cancer and how much involvement of the bladder wall is there. So what you're recommending doesn't sound like the standard type of a treatment to patch it up. You got to be real careful. It sounds like they want to do just removing part of the bladder. And then I don't understand by patching it up with a piece of intestine. Usually if someone has this type of a bladder cancer, which we call invasive bladder cancer, which is where it's through the lining of the bladder into the surrounding, you know, tissues, the bladder is usually treated. Well, first we may treat the patient with chemotherapy to make sure that there are no, you know, if there are any cells in the body that have escaped, to get rid of them. And then actually to replace the bladder with and make a new bladder. And that can be done with a piece of intestine. We have doctors here at NYU Winthrop that can do that, that can make what's called a neobladder, which is a new bladder. In cases where that can't be done, then the patient has to have what's called a conduit, which is where, you know, the urine would drain into a bag on the side. Now, the question about radiation, can that be done instead? The answer is yes. Again, it would depend upon, you know, how much involvement of the bladder there is. If there's a large piece of bladder that is involved with cancer, it probably won't work. But if there's a small area and the patient is 80, there are bladder-sparing techniques that we can use here at NYU Winthrop. Yes, we do deliver a specific form of radiation to the area, and usually in combination with chemotherapy. And for someone that's in their 80s, that may be the way to go. Now, if someone has bladder cancer, they may also suffer from bladder cancer symptoms, frequency, urgency, bleeding. That may be another reason not to keep the bladder and to make a new bladder for him.
Okay.
I'm sorry that's the music, Max, and the end of the show. I want to thank Dr. Christine Chung again for coming on and educating us. Her number again is 516-663-1220. And Max, if your friend wants to see us at NYU Winthrop, we have some terrific doctors that deal specifically with this type of bladder cancer. We would love to see him in consult. We also have some very interesting clinical trials that he may be a candidate for. So, again, I want to just, at the top of the hour, I did mention the two seminars that we have this weekend. We have a free prostate cancer screening program. That's in combination with our wonderful New York State Senator, Elaine Phillips. It'll be at the Winthrop Research and Academic Center, so you can come there. It'll be this Saturday from 8:30 in the morning to noon. And my wonderful colleagues will be there as well. Dr. Jonathan Haas, chairman of Radiation Oncology. And in fact, Max, if you wanted to come, you could speak with Dr. Haas. He will be there. And Dr. Joe Jamal, who is a director of Urological Robotic Services. And again, the Men's Health Seminar this June 16th at the Garden City Hotel. Hope to see you all there. Men'sHealthSeminar.com. Okay, well, that's the music. Thanks, Mike, for giving me an extra minute there to tell everyone about these wonderful events. And we'll see you next Sunday, everyone. Have a wonderful day. This is Dr. Aaron Katz.